We've been talking about the power of speaking in tongues. You all right with that? You know there's power in speaking in tongues. Jesus said, lest I revert over all the things we've already discussed, Jesus said after he comes, after the Holy Ghost comes on you, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Well, what happened after the Holy Ghost came on them on the day of Pentecost? They spoke with other tongues. So, and like I said, in my lightning fast mind, I figured out that after, that must be where the power was. The power is in speaking with other tongues. Why, you say? I don't know why. Why does God do these things? But it's after, it's his decision, right? He does whatever he wants. But I can tell you one thing, it's words. You're speaking words. And God does everything with words, right? He does. He does everything with words. He made you out of words. Now he tells you to go speak words. And when you preach words, people get saved and healed. How does that happen? It's through the words that you spoke. Right? So, where's the power at? It's in the words. So if he said you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you, and after the Holy Ghost came on you, you spoke words, were they your own words? No, so whose words are you speaking then? His words. But I don't understand it. Well, you can't. That's because you're not God. Figure that one out. Thank God that I'm not God. So what words are you speaking? What are you speaking? Whose words are you speaking? You got to get this, people. You're speaking God's words. So yes, you can quote a certain amount of Bible. You're all scholarly Bible people. You can quote a certain amount. If I, you know, put bright lights on you and stuck you in a corner, I said, speak words or you're in trouble. You'd be able to figure it out and you'd be able to come out with several scriptures, I'm sure. Even under pressure. I don't know. But give you a couple seconds, you'd be able to figure out something to speak. But you don't even need a second, do you? To let those tongues come out. They just come out. You don't even have to think about it. And are they God's words? They are. Glory be to God. And he said you'd receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Let's go right over there. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. You want your grass to grow? Go speak in tongues over them. You want your children to straighten up, speak in tongues over them. You want your wife to get in line, speak in tongues over her. You want your body to shape up, speak in tongues over it. Well, how do I know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if you know or not. You're speaking God's words. His words are life. His words are health. His words are blessing. His words are light and good. And they come from heaven and there's no evil in them and there's no shadow of turning. Right? We don't have to be really smart. We just have to receive the Holy Ghost. That's our qualification. And then he gives us the smarts. Then we're walking around in his smarts. Right? That's why we need to develop these prayer languages and speaking languages in the Spirit, because we, you know, the farther you go in school, the more edumacated you get. It's the same way in the Spirit. Keep speaking. Keep being educated. Be fully educated. And is that possible? Absolutely. But not if you don't attend class. And you don't listen to the teacher. You can pay your tuition and go sit in class and not listen to the teacher. What are you going to get? Nothing. You're just going to get a big debt when you get out of college. Right? But you better pay attention. Who are you listening to? The teacher. Who's the teacher? He's the Holy Ghost, and he teaches you as you speak. All right. You guys there yet? Let's pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive and drink of your word and of your Holy Spirit right now. We all enter into the flow of the Holy Ghost, and we will swim around in your word and know that it is you instructing us and showing us how to live abundantly in this earth, in this life, and in that which is to come. We are overcomers, and we thank you, Holy Ghost, for working with us and teaching us and coming on us and showing us how to speak and live in power in the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You must be there by now. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, when I look out here, we got more of that than I think many churches have. We're in one accord. We're looking for something. We're looking for God. We're in the Word, and we know it comes from the Word and the Spirit. Not just the Word and not just the Spirit. It's the Word and the Spirit. Hallelujah. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven. Now, do we have promise then? If we're in one accord and we're seeking God, can we expect the suddenlies to come from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and fill the place? Absolutely. He does that. We're fulfilling the qualifications here. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began, everybody say began, to speak. Everybody say speak. With other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did they begin to do? They began speaking. Did they end? No. We begin and we don't end. You mean there's no end to it? No, there is no end to it. Until you're fully educated, until you the earth can't contain you anymore. Well, the earth can still contain you, whether you know it or not. But eventually it's not going to be able to, and you're just going to have to boogie on out of here. Go on home to your real home, because it can't contain you anymore. This is where it ends, right? Don't make me start preaching on Enoch anymore, but I will if I have to. This is where it ends. Hallelujah. Is where it came from. Where did it come from? From heaven. The sound came from heaven, and it's going to return to heaven. Through the words of your mouth. You could run with that forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God said to return his word to him. 1 Corinthians 13:1. And though I speak with the tongues of men. You guys ready for this? I'm telling you. You're going to get it tonight. And when I speak, though I speak with the tongues of men and of what? You want to know what some of these languages are you're speaking? Why they sound so ridiculously weird? You're speaking in tongues of angels. Oh, that sounds angelic, brother. Well, it is. You just spoke to an, what do you use tongues of angels for?
To speak to angels.
Boy, we are just lightning fast here tonight, aren't we? You ready for this? Sometimes you speak in tongues of angels. And the reason you're speaking in those tongues is to give direction to angels. Do we know how to direct angels in the natural? No, we might pray a hedge of protection around ourselves. A hedge of protection. I was watching this guy who was talking about hedge of protection. He's like, you don't think the devil can't get through a hedge? And he said, oh, why don't you put up a steel wall with some barbed wire on top of it? That might slow him down, but a hedge? He's like, ooh, I don't know how I'm going to get through the hedge. I'm scared of shrubbery. These are things we pray with our minds, right? And the Word. Believe me, I'm not knocking the Word. I'm a Word guy. But when we're speaking in the tongues of angels, we're going way, way out beyond what we can understand and even comprehend. And Jesus said that. I have so many things to tell you about, but you can't bear them now. But when the Holy Ghost comes, when he comes, you'll be able to bear it. and you'll be able to handle it, and you'll be speaking in those languages that angels speak. God spoke to me last night while I was sitting in that, last Friday, sitting in that chair right there. He said, there are things that the angels are standing there waiting for you to say them. And you haven't said them yet. I'm like, well, how do I say it? Well, how do you think you're going to say it? How are you going to say it to an angel? He's like, you're sitting there. It's like, wah, 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 wah. He's wait. What do angels listen to? I'm going to take you there. They listen to the voice of God's word. They hearken and listen. Okay, so we know a certain amount of God's word. You know, prosperity. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. They understand that. They hear that. But what other words do they hear? They're waiting for you to speak in their language. Certain things, certain phrases, and you haven't got them out yet. You need to keep going. You need to keep praying until you sign. And that's what he said. They're waiting for a certain set of phrases to come out for you to say, and then they will go and do it just like that. They're waiting for you. They don't do anything without your permission, without your tongue. You want to see? And that's what happens. You get these words and you've been meditating the word on, say, on prosperity or on healing or on these other things. And you're like, man, I've just got this down in me. You need to pray in the spirit now. You need to pray and pray and pray in the spirit. And it'll take those words and it'll mess them around. It'll do whatever God does with it. And it'll make it come to pass. How? I don't know. God does this. But it's in praying in the spirit. This is huge. And people are praying in tongues. Every once in a while, when I get that little tickly feeling down on the inside, I go, giggly, goggly, googla. You know, yeah, you're putting the shrubbery out again. As the shrubbery, scare the devil off with that shrubbery. My goodness. So, did we read that? Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, so that I have all faith. Now, we've been through all of these things in this little series here on speaking in tongues. How are you going to get the gift of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge? By speaking. How are you going to get more faith? You're building up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? All of these things hinge on. And then he says, keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. By speaking in other tongues, it helps to keep yourself in the love of God. This is Jude, verse 20 through 22. It's right at the beginning of the love chapter. Hallelujah. And I love the angels. I was thinking about that today. I was thinking, you know, I love these guys. You know, they come from the presence of God. They come from the presence of God. And that's why some of the old patriarchs, they said the angel of the Lord. They couldn't tell the difference between him and God because he came in the glory of God. When the Lord Jesus was born, there the heavens was open and the glory of the Lord shone all about them. And then there was a host of angels there. They were in the presence of God. And when somebody comes directly out of the presence of God and stands in your face, you're like, are you God? Or what? Because they've been so saturated with who he is. But you know what? There are servants. And they're waiting around for us to tell them what to do. And we just patty cake them. Help me out. Please. Help me. Now, was I supposed to turn here? Was I supposed to turn there? If I just had a sign. I mean, we do stupid stuff. We're supposed to be kings and priests in this kingdom, of which, by the way, there's a third of the angels fell. So we have two times as many as the devil has his whatever they are. We got twice as many, and we got the good ones, because the bad ones got kicked out. All right, go over to 1 Corinthians 14. Believe me, I'm not locked, I've been praying in tongues too much. Not knocking love. Love is how all of these things function and flow. And you are born of love and you're born of a love God. And this is who you are. And praying in tongues helps keep you in that love. Believe me, I know. Things are stressing you out. You know, things are just... Go pray in tongues for a while. Just see what happens. It'll keep you in that love. Right? It's just the way it is. You'll have a silly smile on your face and everybody's yelling at you. Blah, 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 blah. What are you smiling at? I don't know. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 7. Hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? You get it? No, what are you talking about? Oh, hang on. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Now, he's talking here about people that don't understand what you're saying in other tongues. And earlier I said, you know, well, we understand. If you speak something in tongues, I can say amen whether I know what it is or not. Just as easily as I can say something in other tongues. Right? Because we're in one accord. Right? But he's saying if you're in a service and you say something in tongues and there's somebody there who doesn't know that you're speaking in tongues, they're going to go, what was that? And they aren't going to understand it. That's the context of what he's talking about. But he said if you do that, if you did that, you're still speaking where? You're speaking into the air. Where are you going with that, bro? Hang on. You're still speaking into the air. Did anybody understand what you said? The people didn't understand, but did somebody understand what you said? God understood, and the angels, if it was an angelic tongue that you spoke, they understood. The people might think you're crazy, but what I wanted to bring out in this verse is, he says, you spoke into the air, okay? For you shall speak into the air. Did you get that? Now go up to verse 2, same chapter. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. You weren't talking to him anyway, right? But unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, where is he speaking? In the spirit he speaketh. In the spirit, he speaketh. What? Yeah, when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking into the air. We understand that. We got air all around us. And you're speaking into the spirit. You're not speaking to the man. When you get up here and give a tongue that's interpretable, are you speaking to anybody? Any man? No, you're speaking into the spirit. Where are you speaking when you speak in other tongues? You're speaking into the Spirit. That's why it doesn't need to be understood in the natural. You weren't talking to anybody that's in the natural. Are angels in the natural? They're in the Spirit. Well, if I'm speaking an angelic tongue, I'm going to speak it into the air, and I'm going to speak it into the Spirit, and they hear it. And if it's God's word, which it is, because we've already established that, when I speak in tongues, I'm not speaking of myself. I am speaking as the Spirit gives me utterance. He, the Spirit, is God. He's giving me utterance. I'm speaking His words. The angels hear those. All right? Do I have to go down that trail? You getting this? So, hallelujah. Right? And there's a difference. He was saying this here. There's a distinction between them. And you can know the distinction at times, and other times just keep speaking. You don't have to know everything. That there is a distinction, and I knew it the other day as I was sitting there. I said, what I was just saying, and I talked in tongues for about 5 minutes there, in that same flow, I knew that I was saying things to angels, and they wanted, whether he told me or not. And this is the other thing, when an angel comes and speaks to you, we could go, and I think I have a few scriptures there, but and I was looking them up today and yesterday. Do you know how many times this is what God does? He sends his angel to speak to people, and they say, thus says the Lord. Well, you're getting in dangerous ground. I don't think so. These guys come from the presence of God carrying his words. They hearken to his words. They obey his words. They speak his words. And many times you may be hearing something that sounded like the voice of God. It was just the angel carrying his voice to you, saying the same thing. Now, we have the inward witness, so we can know the difference. But if you don't have the inward witness, you may get confused by anything. The angel of light. You know, the devil transforming himself into an angel of light. But you'll know the difference. I'm just telling you, this is a big part of Scripture that we can't leave aside. Especially now that we're talking about speaking in tongues. Because I'm telling you, a lot of what you're saying in other tongues is just angelic tongues. We saw that from that Scripture. If I speak in the tongues of men, sometimes we can hear that. Can't we? Sounds like I'm speaking Chinese. Sounds like I'm speaking German. Sounds like I'm speaking French. Maybe. Sounds like I'm speaking, right? We all have done this. We've got into a flow where it sounds like I'm speaking something. We still don't know. But then there's other times. I've never heard anybody speak like that. Well, what are you talking? You talking smack? No, you're talking angel. Right? You're talking angel. You're all out there looking at me weird. I'm telling you. You're talking in the tongues of angels, and there's a reason. What kingdom do you think you live in? What kingdom is your, what kingdom are you king over? King over all the other people around? Well, I tell you what, you're king over these angels, number one, and they're the ones who bring things to you. They're the ones who function and operate. We just think, yeah, the Lord brought it to me. Yeah, and the angels are probably sitting there saying, well, Lord, that was me, man. That was me. I did it. I brought it to you. And we're not being sacrilegious. That's what they're here for. They're here to work and to make you a success. And it's not going to happen if you don't tell them what to do. And the only way you're going to tell them what to do is what? In tongues. Speaking in tongues. The tongues of angels. You getting this? Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. In the Spirit, He speaks, right? In the Spirit, He's speaking. Go with me to Psalms 103. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. And yes, this is in your Bible too. Psalms chapter 103. Verse 19, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens and His kingdom rules over all. What is His kingdom rule over? All. That would be all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Do they just hearken unto the word? They hearken unto the voice of His word. If somebody doesn't give voice to His word, what are they going to hearken? Hearken is what? Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, hearken is something you hear, right? Right? Hey, you know. You get somebody's attention first. Well, how do you do that? You get their attention through hearing. We've been down this road before. How do they excel in strength? How do you excel in strength? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. How are the angels excelling in strength? Same way. They operate in the same kingdom, right? His kingdom rules all over all. What kingdom? The kingdom of words. And the angels excel in the strength of God's word when you give voice to it. They hearken to it. What is to hearken to? Means to listen and to do it. Right? So I'm telling you, Alan, there's angels waiting for you to tell them what to do. And the only way you can speak to them, other than through what we know in the Word, you may know some, God may give you some supernatural knowledge of what to say, but other than that, they're waiting for you to tell them in their own language. Their own language. Right? Some Japanese guy could come up to you, Rich, and tell you emphatically over and over again, over and over again, that he wants you to just turn on the TV or something, right? And you'd be like, what are you saying? But if he could just get those words out to you in English, you'd be like, well, why didn't you say so? It works much better this way. God designed it this way. The tongues of men and angels. You mean angels don't know how to speak English? I don't know. I'm just telling you what I do know. There are tongues of angels, so why speak it? You know, is it just one language in heaven? It must be English. I know it's not, you know, Spanish. It's angel. Came from heaven. Come on, people. It's a heavenly language. And the better you get, the better you get it at speaking it down here, the better you're going to be up there. Right? You go up there and you'll meet all your angels that have been working for you, and they'll give you high fives when you get up there. If you've been speaking the right thing and telling them what to do, wouldn't you like to work for a really good boss that everything he did was successful and just prospered you, and you're like a team and this was great? We kicked them. Hallelujah. We burned their hedges. We did everything right and we won. That would be great to be a part of that team. Poor angels. My goodness, they're part of some church's teams and some Christians' teams, and they don't get to do anything ever. They didn't speak the first word in tongues, let alone any of the word. Just filled with unbelief, and their angels are like, ugh. And when that person gets to heaven, they're like, well, welcome. Go over there. I hope I get assigned to somebody else. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They hearken to the voice of God's word. Jesus is Lord. Bless you, the Lord, you his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That's what they do. They hearken to the voice of God's word, the voice, the voicing of God's word, and then they do his pleasure, which is what? His word, which is prosperity and healing and all the other things we have in his word. All right. Hebrews 1:14. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. This is getting good, people. Hebrews 1:14. Let me read from 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Has he said that to you? Has he said that he's going to make his enemies your footstool? He's never said this to any angel. He said it to you. So you're the one who has the authority here. Your enemies are going to be made your footstool, not an angel's footstool. Right? How's this going to happen, though? It's going to be by the ministry of the angels. Yeah. Hallelujah. Look what he says. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of sin, not to them. If it was to them, it would have said to them. It says for them. They're to minister for you, to make your enemies your footstool. How are they going to do it? They're going to hearken to the voicing of God's word. As you open your mouth and you speak in the tongues of angels, you are giving them the license and the right to establish your enemies, all of them, under your feet. The last enemy's death. It's the last one. Leave that one till last. The rest of them, put them down, brother. Hedge them out. Scare them off with the shrubbery. Hallelujah. Did you see that? These ministering spirits are what? Some of them? Just a couple of them, right? All? Come on. Let's read that again. Are they not? Yep, there it is. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who's the heirs of salvation? You are. All the angels are for you. And they're to help you put the devil under your feet. All of them. Well, then what are they doing? They're waiting. They're waiting right next to you, watching you, waiting for you to give voice to God's word. Yeah, you do that in the word. By his stripes I'm healed. And when you say that, they go, yes, by his stripes I'm healed. And they start working. They start to figure out a way to make that come to pass. Just like a thermostat on the wall. You set it to 90. Well, guess what happens? The oil and the pipes and the electricity and all that other stuff start to working together day and night if they have to get that temperature up to where you set it. The problem is nobody's been setting it anywhere. They set it where it is. Well, it's 60 in here. Yep, 60 in here. I'll just set it at 60 because, you know, I say it like it is. I'm just going to say it at 60. Man, I wish it'd get warmer in here, but it's 60. What are you saying? You're giving the angels nothing to do. And they just wait around. Come on, we outnumber them 2-1, and we got the good ones. We got the A team. They got the B team, or C, or D. Actually, F. They failed. Which means they're not even smart. They're like, where's the ball? So with all these things stacked up on our side, we win. We just win all the time. But the only reason we're not winning is because we're whining. We're saying the wrong thing. Or we're wavering on what we say. And the Bible says that a man that wavers gets nothing. Well, if you got nothing, guess what you've been doing? Need to set that thermostat on. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And by his stripes I'm healed. And then speak in tongues. And give the angels the opportunity to hearken to the voice of God's word and bring those things to pass and maturity in your life. The angels do it. The angels have a big part to play. Huge part. Glory be to God forever. They are all ministering spirits. Go to Daniel 10:12. All of them are ministering spirits sent forth. Well, no, God's holding some of them back for later. Not according to this scripture. They've all been sent forth. Right? All of them are sent forth to minister for you. The heirs of salvation. Daniel chapter 10. Brother, do you have any scriptural examples of this? Yes, I do. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Hallelujah. You there? Then said he unto me, who? An angel was standing there speaking to Daniel. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Who did he come for? Because God sent him? No. Daniel's words. He said it. I came because of your words. The first day you set yourself to understand. I came. I heard them and I started coming. And we read on a little bit there. It says he was withheld by the prince of Persia and, you know, had to fight him or something. Took him 21 days to get his message through. But he came as soon as he heard. What did he hear? He heard the words of Daniel. He heard the prayer of Daniel. The angel? This sounds weird, brother. The angel heard the word, the prayer that he prayed to God. He wasn't praying to the angel. Don't say I said that. He was praying to God, and God sent the angel. He came because of his words. What did he come because of? His words. All right? Jesus is Lord. I am come for thy words. Hallelujah. Go over to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39. And at the end of this, there's no way I'm going to get through all of it, but I'll just give you some of these other scriptures. And if you want to go home and, you know, write them down and go home and check them out, you'll be blessed. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, 39. Glory be to God. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Everybody say that. The reapers are the angels. Some of you were here on Sunday, or was it Wednesday? We're talking about reaping, believing God and reaping. Who did Jesus just say the reapers were? The reapers are the angels. They're waiting for you to tell them to do something. How are you going to tell them to do it? You're going to tell them in their language. They love that. I'm telling you. They listen to it. They're waiting for you to talk. And you don't say anything. Start saying the word, quoting it day and night, speaking in tongues without ceasing. Hallelujah. You think they cease? You think they get tired? Man, he's been talking, telling me to do this and telling me to do that in my own language. I'm tired already. No, you're an angel. Just go do it. You don't get tired. They like it. Exactly. They just get stronger. The Bible says they excel in strength hearkening. You want your angels strong? Well, tell them something. Probably that's what it is. The ones that don't get told anything, they decel in strength. They're like blobs. Please. Glory. Speak in my language. That's right. Hallelujah. Did I read that yet? Yeah. The reapers are the angels. And I understand Jesus is talking about the end of time, but you know, his words apply now. Quit putting everything off to the end of time. He specifically said the reapers are the angels. They're sent forth to minister for you. What is the one thing they do best? Reaping. We know how to sow. They don't necessarily sow. All right? We know we're supposed to sow. We're supposed to water. But here they're called reapers. This isn't the only place he tells you that they're called reapers. Glory be to God. Go over to Matthew 9. 37. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, who did God send forth? He sent forth his angels to minister for you. He's telling you to pray. Why is he telling you to pray? He should have just said, you go and reap. You go and labor for the harvest. Look, lift up your eyes. Go, labor the harvest. He didn't say that. He said, you pray so the reapers can come. They're the ones to do the labor. When a king sitting on his throne, he wants a moat dug around his castle. What's he going to do? Pick up a shovel and go start digging? Or is he going to tell the people who work for him, his people, to go get the shovels and dig it? He'll tell them exactly the way he wants it. And I hope he speaks in their language or they aren't going to understand. Speak in the tongues of men and angels. Do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Acts 7. Let's skip ahead here. Like I said, I'll give you some scriptures at the end. Acts chapter 7. Do we live in the book of Acts? Yes. Does Acts have anything to do with us? Yes. Somebody says book of Acts, you should be like, yeah, that's where I live, baby. We're writing those end chapters right now. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 7. Jesus is Lord in verse 53. who, having received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. Here, let me read up verse 51 so we get an understanding of what's going on here. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. They received the law. Now, what was the law to them? The law was the word of God to them. They received the word of God by disposition of angels. And you look it up, it means the working, the going forth with. The angels are the ones who brought it. The delivery guys. So here's God, he says something. Who brings it? The angels. They bring you the word of God. They received the law through this means. Do you remember Jacob? He laid his head down on the rock. And he had a dream and he saw the heavens opened up. And there was this ladder reaching into heaven, and he saw angels going up and going down, going up and going down. He said, hey, this must be the gateway of heaven. Freaked him right out. He built a memorial there out of rocks. But you know what happened when he left? The gate went with him. What were those angels doing? They were ministering to him. They were bringing the word of God to him. They were dispensing the word of God into him. That would have really freaked him out. He'd have been running around, it's following me. Hallelujah. The word was received by the disposition of angels. It means that's what they do. Is it a benefit to have the word of God come to you? Is it the benefit to have God say something to you and speak something to you? It'd change your life. Who brought it to you? Angels, many times. Yes, I understand. You know, I'm not going beyond the word here. I'm not going beyond the inward witness and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. If an angel comes to you and speaks to you something, you will have the inward witness. And it will be in line with the word every single time. You'll probably know what's going to happen before it happens. Why? Because of the inward witness and who you are. You're the king. You're not behind the scene on this. Right? So many times, this is the way God did, especially in the Old Testament. Because he was dealing with people who weren't born again, who didn't have the inward witness. So the angels had to come and make the way of the Lord straight. Did it time and time again. And this is how he delivered the law. But does God change? No, he's still doing it. These angels are still active, doing the same thing, establishing God's word in the earth. They hearken to the word. They do the word of God. All right. Glory be to God, Acts chapter 5, 18. No, go to 17. And then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What opened the door? What brought them forth? Weren't the angels sent to bring forth? Well, they bring you forth. Glory be to God. We'll see why this happened. Quickly go over to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, God's hooking him up with the right guy here by the disposition of angels. He had a charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. First of all, the angel of the Lord came and redirected him. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, go join yourself. Right? I have an idea that when he was picked up and translated right after that, it came out of baptizing. It was an angel that moved him from one place to another. He just got on the angel bus. Guarantee you Philip was speaking in tongues a lot. This does not happen to people who don't speak the language. What language? Angelic language? The language of heaven. Are you really mean that, brother? Yes, absolutely. This is God's way. This is God's method. This isn't weird. And you can get weird. If this is the only thing you ever heard, you could get weird with it. That's why I'm bringing it up now. We've already been preaching on this and teaching on this. This is the sixth message on speaking in tongues and the power thereof. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. It's good news. Hallelujah. Acts 10:3. Brother, I didn't know there was that many angels working. Yeah, there's a lot of them. There was a certain man. Read 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. What did he do? He gave alms and he prayed to God once. Always. Prayed to God always. He wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. What came up before God? His prayers and his giving. I bet he fasted too. These are three things Jesus said were key. Prayer, fasting, and giving. Right? It said it came up before God. Why was the angel sent? Became up because of his words, his prayers went to God. God heard him, and so he came by the voicing of those words. What do angels move on? What do angels act on? The voicing of God's words. We need to go deeper into what is in the word by speaking in tongues. We can go beyond what we understand. Because we can speak beyond what we can understand. And the angels will do things way beyond what we understand. This was way beyond what this centurion understood. He loved God. He worshiped God. He gave and he prayed always. But the angel acted and came. Took him to a whole different place. Got him and his whole house saved. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to try to end with this, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made, what? Without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So what's going on here? Remember, Peter gets thrown in prison, and they're going to kill him in the morning. Okay, it's getting serious now. They just threw him in prison before to kind of bug him. They're going to kill him in the morning. So what is the church doing? They're praying, oh God, help us. Oh God, all night long without ceasing. No. How do you think they were praying? This is the same church that just a few chapters before was baptized in the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. They began to speak in tongues. Of men and of angels. So they continued praying in tongues of angels. and of men. And they continued, right? It says what? Prayer was made for him without ceasing. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door were kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came in upon him, and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, "Get up! Arise up quickly!" And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "I don't know how I got out here, but surely the Lord sent an angel."
Yeah, amen.
What happened? Why? Because God loved Peter so much. What were they doing? They were praying without ceasing. And I'm telling you, they were praying in other tongues. They were praying in the tongues of angels, and an angel was sent and made a miraculous deliverance out of that prison. Chains just falling off of him. Doors opening up of their own accord. They're like, "Okay, come on through." This is the realm in which we live, and our angels live there. Can angels do that? Let me ask you a question. Can angels open doors that are locked right now? Can angels take chains off that are bound? They can only do it. They can, but they can only do it when they have commandment to do it, which comes from you and from your prayers, specifically prayers in the Spirit. So as you're praying, and as you're releasing those words, it's another realm of understanding. We're growing in our understanding of what we're doing when we're speaking in tongues, and we're growing in faith. When you speak in tongues tonight, do you now know that some of those tongues, I'm not saying all of them, some of them are going to be the tongues of angels? And when you release faith in that now, you are giving the angels now the ability to go do things that they haven't been able to do ever. Why? Because faith, everything requires faith. Requires faith and words. When you put faith behind your words and you believe it, they come to pass. Glory to God. You're never dependent on what you see. We're dependent on this supernatural realm where God lives and all his angels live. That's our kingdom.
Amen.
And we stay squarely in God's word and his Spirit. But the angels listen. They're waiting. I'm telling you, they're waiting. And God, they're real, okay? You start talking about angels, people get freaked out. They're like, "Well, what about bad angels?" Well, you know what? Too bad for them. Our good angels outnumber their bad angels. Now understand where this is coming from. Don't get weird, all right? Understand where this is coming from. This is coming from a base and solid understanding of what tongues are and what tongues we speak and how we're speaking. But you are a king and a priest, and you have angels that are waiting for you to give them direction. And the only way you're going to be able to do it is through the word and by speaking their language and giving them direction. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They think you're their boss now, and they're waiting. "Well, boss man, what am I supposed to do?" They're waiting for you to tell them in their own language and specifically what they're supposed to do, and they're waiting for you. When you finally get it out, just like that, when they finally got it, you know, he could have sent the angel like the first hour that Peter, why did he wait that long? Because the prayer needed to be prayed. The direction needed to be given, and it had to come from earth. Get this. Where's the power of binding and loosing? It's on earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in this kingdom of heaven. If you loose those angels, they will be loosed. If you bind them, which most of them are just bound because nobody looses them, they're waiting for you. That was one of the other scriptures I was going to go to. Hallelujah. Prayer without ceasing was made. And if you have situations in your life that you need to deal with and they need to be straightened up, then prayer without ceasing is something you should do. And we have a great capacity to do it much better than people in the Old Testament. Or even Cornelius. You gotta admire this guy. He wasn't saved. He wasn't even Jewish. But he loved God. And he prayed without ceasing, gave alms, and fasted. I know he did. We're learning. This is a whole new dimension. Some people don't think about this. And I know it might have crossed our mind every once in a while, but you know, that's a problem. It's a problem when God designed his kingdom to function this way. And Jesus, he said, don't you think I could call so many angels and they just come deliver me? Don't you think I could do that? I could do it. Why would he even say that if he couldn't have done it? This is the kingdom he operated in. Who knows? He could have walked on water and the angels were under the water going, bloop, 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 holding him up. You don't know. The whole thing works this way. The law was delivered into the earth by these angels. Everything God does is, and so when we, well, it kind of casually crossed my mind that angels might be involved, and I might have said one thing in tongues that was a tongue of an angel. That's a problem. Because this is the way the whole kingdom functions. God does everything with his angels. Need some coffee. Angel? Coffee angel, go give me some. Not that God drinks coffee, but you understand, everything he does is by the dispensation of angels. Sound like Ed Dufresne now. I just can't talk anymore. Disposition. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because we're going to speak in the tongues of men and angels. And I'm telling you, I started getting giddy about it, and I've got the witness in myself, and you can bear witness or not, that we've had angels in here, and the angels are just waiting for us to let them loose. But we had no faith in that area, and we had no capacity there because we didn't know. But now we know, don't we? And they're like getting excited. They're like, oh, I'm putting my coat back on. Did you notice how many times he had to talk to Peter? Put your coat on. Put your shoes on. Put your pants on, Peter. We're going outside. Because you know, Peter was the one who was naked fishing on the boat. What's up with that? He's just not ready. Get ready. That's the point. When the angels start showing up, get ready. They're ready and they're getting ready. They're putting their cloaks of light on. Sharpening up their swords. Getting out their hedge clippers. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for all the angels who have been sent forth to minister for us. We now call on those angels to do the Word of God and to manifest the Word of God and the glory of God in this church, in our lives. And we commit to speaking in the tongues of God, the tongues of heaven, the tongues of angels, and we will see in our life the glory of the Lord filling the earth like the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.